Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the Omega Leadership Series show. We are live in studio this morning with best-selling author Lori Beth Jones. Welcome, Lori Beth.
Thank you, Shelley.
It's great to have you. We are going to jumpstart our morning talking about fragile things in this chapter in the balance section of your book, Jesus Life Coach. You remind us of some places not to step. Talk to us about that.
Well, with more than a million miles in frequent flyer points, I've had the opportunity to really study a plane's anatomy from many different angles.
Mm.
And whenever I sit on the wing or near the wing, I look out and I see a portion of this long silver piece of extruded aluminum, and there's a small portion that says, do not step here.
Right, right.
And I always pray, dear Lord, please make sure that nobody steps there or has stepped there, because it seems like that is a very critical part of the plane being able to fly. And it made me think about our soul, that we too have wings, and we too have areas where God has written, do not step here. But do we guard those?
Mm.
And do we even know where they are? And my guess is that many of us are letting people trample all over them. And then we wonder why we can't get our ideas or our energy
right,
off the ground.
Right. You lead us into this chapter talking about some places that Jesus didn't step all the time, that he was aware of those and intentional about his work. Can you share some of those with us?
The places that he did not step, he didn't heal all the people in Jerusalem. He didn't raise all the dead people. He didn't do all things for all people. He was very strategic and intent upon what he did each day. He saw his ministry as really being a one-to-one interaction with people and using those as teachable moments. And the title for the fragile things actually also came from a chapter in Jesus CEO, and it reminded me of I have a friend named Willie who's a great potter and artist, and she would make things with feathers and things with clay and just intricate. Some things were so intricate, almost like a bird's nest, and some things were very massive, like gourds or clay drums. And so she had a showing, and her little godchild, who was 5 years old, Megan, went through the show. And her mother, you know, guided her all through the show. And after it was over, Willie knelt down and she said, Megan, of all the things you saw here, what do you most like? And she leaned forward and whispered to Willie, she said, I want to touch the fragile things. Obviously, her mother had said, don't touch that, that's fragile.
Yes.
And then that very night, I got a call from my mother saying that my 91-year-old grandmother had passed away. And just the night before, I had been on the phone with her, and she had been joking, it sure is hard to be a princess around this joint sometimes. And it just, you know, getting that call, it just knocked the air out of me, and I sat down on my bed, and I thought, Lord, I want to touch the fragile things.
Mm.
Life is so fleeting. Life is so beautiful, and it is so frail. Don't let me trample over the fragile things in my life. And so getting back to Jesus,
powerful.
The fragile thing with him was his connection with his Father, and he guarded that. I mean, every night he drew away from the crowds, and that was, he did not let people step there.
Mm-hmm. You talk about after the resurrection, and Mary was there, and Jesus said to her, do not touch me. And then just a little while later, he asked Thomas to touch him, to put his hand on his side and feel the wounds. You position this as a fragile thing, as a fragile moment for Jesus. Talk to us about why that was fragile at that moment for Mary not to, and then, you know, not fragile for Thomas.
Right. Well, in the chapter, I talk about, and anyone who facilitates groups and sees it as a spiritual calling knows what I mean by this, that when you are in front of a group bringing forth their souls, mm-hmm. like we do in the path workshops,
right,
you have to drop your force fields. You have to drop your ego. You have to drop your agenda. You have to drop all of your barriers so that you can be, a pure, unvarnished vessel
mm-hmm.
for the Holy Spirit.
Right.
So I'm not talking that we're all pure, but I'm just saying that when you drop that force field of having an agenda, having an ego, having a dog in the hunt,
mm-hmm.
and just be a vessel for the Holy Spirit to flow, it's amazing what can happen.
Mm-hmm.
And what I learned painfully was I just thought that I could get into that space for the weekend, Friday through Sunday, and then go to work on Monday. And certainly after a weekend like that, where many transformations took place in people's lives, people wanted to meet and propose deals and agendas or talk further about, pain that was touched. And I would just go ahead and schedule the meetings. Well, I was so vulnerable. And I was so really not myself that I realized that after dropping those force fields, your immune system, if you will,
right,
you have to drop
right.
it in order to let this energy flow, that I needed time away so that I could build my immune system back up for the real world, for the day-to-day,
mm-hmm.
for the business meetings and the agendas and all that. So in our trainings, we really caution and coach people that after you go through this kind of experience, you make sure that you have a full Sabbath day of rest after it. I don't care if it's a Sunday or
sure.
what, but you need to let your immune system get
mm-hmm.
back into sync so that you can function until you're called upon again to reduce it and let those fragile things be seen. So the difference with Jesus, he had not yet ascended. He
mm-hmm.
was really guarding his energy for that ascension. And so even though she clearly loved him and wanted no harm,
mm-hmm.
He was guarding his energy, and this is a principle that is really something that's foundational in my life, and I think sometimes people don't understand it.
Yeah.
But to really guard that energy in those times, when you are ascending, when you're trying to get that divine flow, and at the same time, when he needed to make a teaching point, and Thomas was in a state of confusion, Jesus dropped that force field and said,
yeah.
put your hand in my wounds, because he was in that space of, you could say he didn't need his immune system anymore, but he'd already ascended, So I think we do not study the human spirit enough as to its needs. We think it's as strong as steel, and it is in one sense, but it's as fragile as an orchid or an embryo. And it needs to be guarded and nurtured, and that's the fragile thing.
Are you referring to some setting boundaries here and guarding energy and fragile things? Is that where you're leaning a little bit?
Yes, I think that when the world assaults us with information, I was in the elevator yesterday in Dallas, and a woman, young girl, she had two phones in her hand. She had her iPhone, and then on top of that, she had her Android phone or whatever it was, and both phones were active, and she was hauling luggage, and she was looking at two screens, hauling luggage. She had on a name badge. She was obviously on her way to a conference, and I just thought, boy, isn't that the truth? She said, well, this is my personal phone, and that's my work phone, and so the assault of information and connection that we have is really trampling many of our fragile things. I think there's a spiritual exhaustion that people are feeling, and much of it comes from trying to stay in a force field that doesn't nurture you, but that drains you.
Wow. I got to think on that for a minute, because I not only have two phones, I have now how many? I don't know. How many?
Yeah, your desk could be an ad for Mac.
Yeah. So Jesus' unique, intense one-on-one relationship with God, you indicate, did not let others trample on or barrage into or interrupt that time. That's powerful.
Right.
And I think that that's what you're communicating here is, you know, do we guard that energy? I think some of these things are out of Jesus' CEO. I'm recognizing some of these chapters, guarded his energy. You know, there was another one on energy leaks or something like that.
Right.
You know, understanding that in our society, in our time, where, you know, we're in a constant, you know, awareness that something is coming at us, something needs to be answered, something needs to be commented on or done. How do we step away from the media rush and connect with that and understand what are our fragile things? How do we walk around our lives and determine, oh, this is an energy leak. There's a barrage coming, or
mm-hmm.
there's a cliffhanger. And how do we do that?
Well, it gets back to mission, knowing what your mission is, and knowing what your values are, and knowing what you came here to do, and being able to say no.
Yeah.
And you know, Peter's great sin, if you want to call it that, was not so much the denial of Christ. It was reflective of his weakness of wanting to be liked by everybody. He didn't want to be the one at that crowd that said, oh, you were with that man. No, I wasn't. I'm just going to hang here with you guys at the fire. Hey, how about that Chargers game, you know?
Right.
He wanted to hang out and be comfortable. And so Jesus drilled him three times on that weakness until he became strong enough to be the one who really, through his dream in Acts, the interpretation of his dream, opened up the whole spiritual realm to the Gentiles.
Sure.
So he was the weakest link in terms of wanting popularity, and then he was bold enough to stand up and say, I had a dream. The Lord said, what I have called clean, do not call unclean, which changed 2,000 years of rituals and practices and beliefs, paradigm shift.
Wow.
So the fragile things sometimes that God's going to work with might be our weak spots. And lessons might keep coming up where again and again and again, you know, we feel like Groundhog Day. I've been here before. Why does this lesson keep showing up?
Sure.
And it's the Lord stirring things up so that we get stronger for the next level.
You know, I was in an all-day coaching session this week, and one of the speakers was talking about this mind-body work, and I immediately went to a Christian perspective on that. And I'm not sure in our modern day how serious we take that space of really connecting and taking that time and blocking that time out to work on our minds, to work on our mind-body relationship when something's out of sync. Do we notice it as an ache? Oh, I got a new ache in my shoulder or in my leg or in my back, and we don't recognize it as an energy leak that has been going on for too long, or a cliffhanger, you know, where we're just suspended waiting for decisions, or, you know, I just wonder, you know, I think the great mystics and those that have spent time alone with God, you know, had a better, sometimes better grasp on what it means to understand the fragile thing.
Right.
But it was interesting. Interesting. What's your perspective on that? If we take time, I mean, you travel a lot, you see leaders, you see organizational frames and church government, all that. What is your
Well, thought? I recently met with a team. I'm writing a book with a CEO about his success in mergers and acquisitions. And the psychiatrist who was one of the physicians on this team said, the thing to stress in the book is not just a to-do list, do these 10 things, but the inner work of the leader. I mean, this particular leader went from leading a $200 million organization in 15 years, $1 billion organization. And this particular psychiatrist said, it was not that he was his psychiatrist, but he said it's the inner work of this leader, the inner landscape of courage and faith and understanding how to handle disappointments that brought him to this point of success.
Wow.
So great insights there.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your time again today, Lori. We appreciate the work that you're doing, inner and outer, here in the world, and we just look forward to the next time with you on the show.
Thank you, Shelley.